Good to see everybody today. As you can see, I am still not at home and still have my wonderful corded earbuds, which they don't sound awesome, so that I have to do this. Otherwise, you're going to hear me like this. And Alex over here, my wonderful friend Alex, who I will introduce, has this beautiful setup, pro setup, because he loves all the good sounds. So,
Listen, if you saw what it looked like behind the scenes, I'm in my living room. I've got laundry over here. I got a playpen over here. I got a baby carrier over here. Like, just looks can be deceiving. Don't let it fool you.
I thought maybe you were in your office. I didn't
I
realize
don't.
you were at home.
No, I'm at home.
Okay. All right. All right. So fine. Whatever. Okay. So I told him I'm a little bit jealous. He's making me look really bad right now.
I'm gonna
So
take a
hi.
picture and put it in the chat.
Okay. Hi, everyone. It's good to see everybody. Let us know where you're tuning in from. So today we have with us special guest and my good friend, Alex Morales. He and his wife Sarah, and they're four, right? It's four now.
It's
Four.
for now.
Four beautiful children live in the Austin area in Texas. And so I'm just so thankful that he's going to be on with us today. It's called an office prophet. Called to the office, and so we're gonna have a little bit of a chat. And so I love these kinds of calls because I love to showcase what prophets can look like, because we're all on a different journey. And if you can identify with, oh, that's what an office prophet looks like to this person, then maybe it'll help you just a little bit on your journey and embrace the assignment that's on your life. So this is why I love doing that. So, Alex, I introed you a little bit, but you want to go ahead and, just intro yourself a little bit more?
So like Marguerite said, I'm Alex, and I do a number of different things in ministry, right? So I've been in vocational ministry for almost 30 years. I've been bivocational. I've been a pastor. I was a senior pastor. Working as a prophet. I work with a prophetic company and Dan McCullum and Bethany Hicks as a master trainer in our certification program. I work with Georgian Banoff in the Global Celebration School of Supernatural and do some travel with him. And then my wife and I, we pastor locally and do ministry as worship leaders and worshipers. And so yeah, it's been great. And like Marguerite said, we've got four kids. So we've got a 15-year-old, we have a 12-year-old, we have a 9-year-old, and a 10-month-old. Yes, that was all Jesus. He was not a surprise. He was a complete shock. But he was definitely the missing piece in our family. So Zion's actually upstairs taking a nap.
Wow. Come on. Wow.
Life's fun in my household right now.
I can't even imagine. Like, that would be so interesting.
Oh, it
Yes.
is.
Yeah, that would be like me having a kid right now as well,
Listen,
another baby.
I turned 47 in January, and so he was born when I was 46. That's not what I thought was going to happen when I was in my upper 40s. But yeah, it's been great.
Well, I'm so glad. I'm so glad to hear that it's been great. Man, so there's people on here, that are saying, bless you. Oh my, amazing blessing. And then Jerry says, Jerry, are you a lady or a man? I can't tell from just the name. So sorry. But says, been there, completely get it. Ooh, yes.
Yeah,
And then
I got one getting ready to drive and one who's still in diapers. It's like it's crazy.
that's got to be so bizarre.
It is. Here's what I'm honestly looking forward to when Zion, that's his name, right? When Zion is old enough to start going to the movies and stuff, I can probably get a senior discount and a student discount at the same time. So that'll save me some money on both sides. Go to Denny's, get a kids meal and a senior meal at the same time. That's going to be fantastic. It's going to be great.
I love that. As you can see, Alex has a great outlook on life.
Yes.
Yes, he's very positive. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, we need more happy prophets, right?
We do. We do. You need more happy prophets. You guys actually just had a prophetic summit in Texas this
Yeah, we
past
did.
weekend. And I know that there's some people that are on here that are going to watch the replay that were at that prophetic summit. So they have seen you just a smidgen,
Just a bit.
just a bit. I'd love to talk about your prophet journey just a little bit
Yeah, go
because I
for it.
know, I know some of us have unusual things happen, unusual circumstances, but other times, we just want to know what it's like. So when did you first begin to have an inkling that you were a prophet? Like, how did that happen to you?
Oh, I love that question. So, to answer that, I actually got to give you some history and background. So,
Okay.
I grew up in church. I've been in church since I was 2 years old. My dad got saved when I was two, but we grew up cessationist. We grew up complete cessationist, like think John MacArthur, like Strange Fire guys. Like that was us growing up. Went off to college. I had a full scholarship. I was pre-med to University of Miami. And during that time, I was involved in my local church. I was a Southern Baptist church, and I felt a calling into pastoral ministry. So I gave up my scholarship, got my degree in theology and biblical studies, and did everything. So I've been a pastor since I was 18. At 18, they made me their youth pastor. By the time I was 26, I was a senior pastor of my own church.
Wow.
It was in that season that I had an experience with God that I didn't really have a theological grid for. And it was the first time I ever heard his audible voice. And the story is way longer. And for the sake of time, I won't get into it. But I found myself one morning at my church in prayer. It was like 5 a.m. I was all alone. I had called a prayer gathering just to really pray for our church because we were in some massive transition. And for a month straight, I was the only one who would show up. And I was ready to quit, ready to give up, ready to walk away from everything. And I remember I'm kneeling down at the altar area of this Southern Baptist church in Miami, Florida. And I prayed the most honest, sincere prayer I could ever pray. And it's, God, I don't know what to do. And unless you show me you're real, I quit.
Wow.
And I heard his audible voice, man. And what he said to me was this. He said, Alex, you know my word, but you don't know my power. And I'm going to teach you what it means to operate in both. And
Wow.
for the next 2.5 hours, I was in a third heaven encounter I didn't have a grid for. And in that encounter, I won't get into all of the encounter, but the Lord began to show me. Jesus started to show me my destiny, and he started to show me that I was called to be a prophet. And because I didn't have a grid for all of that, I sort of shelved that part. But I knew that what I experienced was real, and it just made me hungry for kingdom. It made me hungry for revival. It made me hungry for to know the Holy Spirit. It made me hungry to see a manifestation of word and power. And it set me on this pathway. It set me on this journey. Well, flash forward a number of years. It was probably about 12 years ago. So that was around 20 years ago, 10, 12 years ago. My wife and I, we move out to Austin, hungry, still pretty new in what we'd call revival culture or kingdom mindedness. And we moved out here based off of a dream the Lord gave me. And it was he brought me to Austin. In the dream, I've never been here before, and so we're
Wow.
here for several months, and we're walking around the city, and it was probably at this point the third time I had heard his audible voice, and we're walking around Austin. It's our anniversary, and just getting to know the place, and I hear the Lord say, "Alex, I want you to begin to prophesy over the city because I called you to be a prophet," and that was the first time in probably 8 years that I really remembered that part of the encounter that I had had. And I'm like, okay, what does this mean? And so I'm feeling this internal call, and I just started prophesying, whatever, just God, what do you want to say over the city? And as we're walking around doing the tourist thing in our new town, I'm just releasing what I'm hearing. About a year, 2 years later, I am maybe three in that time frame. It's our anniversary again, and it was February 22nd, and I had this dream, and in the dream, I'm walking down this road, and I see this I see what looked like a massive bird walking along the road. He steps over what I would describe as a blanket, because that was the language I had then. He stops, turns around, looks at me, and has the face of a man. And he says, "I want you to pick this up, wear it, and walk in it." And I had that dream three times over the next 6 months. The interesting thing was the day that I had that dream was actually the day that they were burying Bob Jones. He had passed that February 14th. And so I didn't have much of a grid for it, for the dream or what it meant. Had it three times over 6 months. A year later, my wife and I are in Dallas leading worship at a young adults conference at a church, and Bobby Connor was the main speaker. And getting to interact with Bobby and just doing stuff. One day we're sitting at lunch and he starts, if you've ever been around Bobby Connor, he's got stories, he's going to talk, and it's amazing. And he looks at me and he says, "Son, you're so hungry." And we're at lunch and I'm looking at the menu. I'm like, "Yes, sir. Yeah." He goes, No. Start asking your questions." And so I just start asking questions. And for the next 2.5 hours, I'm asking him question after question. And he, Bobby doesn't really always answer. He'll go off on a tangent, but in the tangent is the answer to your question. And through that, it got to this thing on dreams. And I said, "Hey, I've got this dream. I'd love to know what it means." And he said, "Go ahead, tell me your dream." Now, when I get comfortable around people, I lose control of my tongue a little bit. And so I said, "I'm sitting here, I've got two." At that point, I only had two kids. Sarah was pregnant with our daughter, our third. So this is probably around 10 years ago now. I said to Bobby, I said, "Well, you're the prophet. Tell me my dream." And she kicks me under the table. She's like, "Oh my God, I can't believe how disrespectful you are." And Bobby took it in stride and he looked at me and he said, "Son, I need you to tell me the dream." And I said, "Okay." There was something about the way he said that to me. And so I tell him the dream that I just shared with you. And he says, "I have to tell you about the first time I meet Bob Jones." I'm like, "No." Now, I had met Bobby several times before because of my relationship with Georgian. And so I'm rewinding years of encounters with Bobby, and I'm like, "No." And he said, "Well, I had this dream. And as I'm walking, I'm in this dream and I'm walking down this road and I see this bird and he's walking along the road and he steps over a mantle, turns around, looks, and it's the face of Bob Jones. And Bob Jones says, I want you to pick this up and I want you to wear it because you're called to be a prophet and you're going to walk in the office of the prophet. And he looks at me, he goes, "Son, you had the same dream I had. And the Lord has called you to the office of the prophet. And the moment that you're ready to walk in it, you'll pick up that mantle and you'll wear it. You're just staring at the mantle. The Lord's telling you to pick it up and walk in it."
Wow.
And it freaked me out. I was like, "Oh my gosh, like, okay." And so 2 days went by. We're at this conference, and on the third, the final night, I'm in the green room with Bobby and my wife and a couple of others. And I said, "Bobby, I want to walk in that. I just don't know how. I don't know what that means." And he says, "Well, that mantle is the same one that I carry. It's the same one that Bob Jones carried. I'm gonna lay hands on you and release an impartation of it so you'll know." And boom, I mean, it just hit me. And for the next 3 weeks, I was having encounters and all sorts of stuff. It was just so much. I prayed. I was like, "God, I don't know what to do with this." We had come back from that. The only other people who knew anything about that experience was my senior leaders at the time. I shared it with them immediately, but because I didn't have any idea how to steward it, what it meant, I was like, I'm looking for somebody to train me and fathers and mothers and all this. So I prayed and I said, God, I need you to shut this off until somebody's able to come around me. So a year later, this is probably 8 years ago now, Dan McCollum comes through town. We had already built a relationship with him as a church. And he and Richard are traveling, doing some stuff locally. And Richard was a senior leader at the time, and he's such a papa and so proud, and he's bragging on all of the staff. And he gets to me, and he shares with Dano, my experience with Bobby Connor. That evening, we're having a meeting at the church, and Dano comes running up to me. And if you know Dano, he doesn't run to anybody.
No,
No,
no.
he makes a beeline, is running to me, and he says, "Richard told me about Bobby. I need to talk to you." And I'm like, "Sure, yeah, let's talk." And he's like, "I know Bobby. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that with anybody. You need mentors and you need fathers in your life." And I said, "Would you be that?" And he goes, "No, but I'm going to invite you to walk with me." And I said, "Wherever you go, I'll follow." And it's been 8 years, and I've just been, you know, like a dog on a bone, man. I hitch my wagon there, and I said, "All right, I'm gonna learn and eat up everything I can do." About a year later, I'm out in Vacaville. Less than a year later, I'm out in Vacaville for the first time for a School of Prophetic Training that Dano hosts and Prophetic Company hosts. And I remember sitting, going to lunch in the It was in the hangar, Marguerite. It was in the hangar. And I'm going to lunch and I'm in line. And Dana goes, "Hey, where are you sitting?" And I said, "Oh, I'm going to sit with these." He goes, "No, you're not. You're sitting with me." I said, "Oh, okay. I guess I'm sitting with you." And so walk over to the table. And, you know, I think actually, Marguerite, you may have been sitting at that table.
Probably. I didn't meet you until the following year, though, so.
Of other people. And he says, "Hey, this is Alex. He's a friend of mine. He's a prophet in Texas, right, Alex?" And I was like, "Yes." And that was it. I was sort of thrown in the deep end, honestly. And like I said, hitched my wagon there, and I haven't looked back since. So it's probably a lot longer of a story, but that was my journey, you know, and just started going, okay, what does it look like to walk in this office? What does it look like to raise up and equip another generation of prophets? Because that's part of what I feel called to do. Marguerite actually gave me a word years ago. She said, "You're a prophet to the prophets." And Dano helped me unpack that a little bit. And it's not only that I'm a prophet to prophets and prophesy to prophets and work with other prophets, but it's about identifying and raising up the next generation of prophets and raising them from call to office. And so that's my journey, really.
Wow, that's quite the journey.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever heard the whole story.
No, I didn't hear about that dream.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about your encounter with Bobby Connor or Dano running. I think I would have remembered Dano
Yeah.
running.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I love this story. It's so wild. And we have so many people in here that are, mystics and have got, wild God encounters. And then we also have people that are just entering into this new space of this, or they've had God encounters and can't figure out, what is,
Yeah.
are other people having experiences like me? Am I crazy? So this is really great to hear. We've all heard Chris's story about Jesus walking into the bathroom and having that encounter.
Yeah.
Now, so this was, a short version of your journey, obviously. What would you say were some really practical things that you learned, just walking alongside Dano and discovering your what it looks like to walk in the office of prophet?
So one of the first things I learned was to, and I'm actually going to quote Hamilton, the play, right?
Yes.
Aaron Burr, talk less, smile more. That was the first thing I actually learned, you know. Because I grew up the way that I did with such a solid Bible, background. And again, I'll go back to the word the Lord spoke to me the first time I heard his audible voice. You know my word, but you don't know my power. You know, I've got the degrees, I've got the certifications, I've got all the stuff on the wall. So there was a lot of stuff I thought I knew. And because I thought I knew stuff, I would just talk, right? And so the first thing I learned was always be a student, always be learning, always be hungry to learn more than you share or impart. I call it now, it's the art of being the quietest man in the room. Because if you're always talking, you're always, oh yeah, the Lord showed me this and the Lord showed me that. And oh yeah, there's a, you become white noise. But if you learn to be the quietest person in the room, and then speak, what you release and what you say has more power, has more authority, and people will listen. And so that was one of the first things I learned was be quiet, learn, listen, and just continue to steward your personal relationship with the Lord.
Wow.
Your time will come. You know,
Wow.
I think the second thing I learned was, and this is a direct quote from Dano, was, do you want to be right or do you want to see the outcome? And I think one of the things that, because of how I am wired, I am a perceiver knower as my primary receptor. I don't know how I know the things that I know. I just know that I know. I'm a bit of a mystic in the sense of dreams and encounters in that way. And so I often see things before it happens, like sometimes days, sometimes months, sometimes years before it happens. But because it seems so real to me, I'm also a builder, and I'm going to run and try to build it and get it to happen and go. And, you know, I would often sit in our pastoral staff meetings and I'd say something. I'd say it, hey, this is what the Lord is saying. This is what we need to do. And it would be years before anyone took any action on it. And when they finally did, I'd be so frustrated. I'm like, I told you this 3 years ago. I've been saying this. I've been ringing this bell for months. Like, this guy walks in off the street and he says something, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, it's the first time you ever heard it. And I get so frustrated. And Dano challenged me. He's like, Alex, do you want to be right or do you want to see the outcome?
Wow.
And I said, honestly, I want both. Because I'm a high D, I'm an eight personality, you know, on the Enneagram. I want both. I said, but the reality is I want to see the outcome. I want to see it happen. And he said, okay, so you just keep going for that. Don't worry about being right. Don't worry about the I told you so's. And that partnered with learning to be just quiet and still, and learning when to release a word, learning when to hold a word. Those are probably the two biggest things, lessons I've learned.
Yeah, I think I love your story about like, do you just sharing, knowing things outside of time, right? And Dano talks about this is called living anachronistically, that we live outside of time. And so we see outside of time, and that can be so hard. I love what, Deb Crone has had that same kind of experience. And one of the things that she actually talks about, which has stuck with me the most, is like you're like a UPS or, delivery person. You just deliver the package, but you don't look for, you don't wait to o for them to open up the package. You don't say, how was the delivery? Can you unwrap it a little bit faster? What do you think of the product? No, that's not your job. It's just to deliver the package. And obviously how the package is delivered, it matters. But when we're seeing outside of time, and I think it's really important that we steward how do steward the timeline of when we're seeing things, when we're picking up on stuff. Like, is it 3 years out? Is it 2 years out? Like, some of this is training for us when that happens. And so I love that so much, and I love the advice that Dano gave you.
And it's learning. Sometimes you're just training, right? And so I've become an avid note taker and journaler, so to speak, because Because if I don't, if I don't, then I can get frustrated. And so what I do is if I don't have an assignment on something, I just start taking notes and track it for myself because I know that I'm training. I'm building up my accuracy. I'm building up things. So I think this will be the first time I've shared this anywhere. But I'll give you a real practical for instance. And so I've got a note in my phone that is dated February 22nd. Probably can't see that. Okay, but it's dated February 22nd. And I had a dream. And in that dream, I dreamt Pope Francis will die in around the beginning of Easter. And by Pentecost, we'll have a new pope. Right? If I hadn't built up a history in accuracy and even learning how to hold on to something, right? Man, the temptation to jump on Facebook and put this out there, right? The temptation to start telling everybody I know. And the Lord was like, no, I'm revealing my secrets to my friends.
Come on.
Can I trust you to keep my secrets? And
Wow, come
so
on.
I took a note, made sure it was dated. I emailed it to myself so there's an official timestamp on it, right? And shared it with my wife, Sarah, and that was it. And I'm still waiting to see how this word plays out, right? Because there were some other things that I saw happening with the new pope. And so just sitting around going, okay, conclave starts this Tuesday, and I'm waiting to see, right? Because I know that I'm training in an area that I'm called to reign in. And so, you know, I think that's a huge part of that. I do. I saw a question pop up in the chat. Can we,
Yeah, absolutely.
hold, please, while I put on my glasses. Oh my gosh. You
Your
know, I'm
mature
officially at
glasses.
the age. Let me just get this out here. I'm officially at the age where I got to put these on to read, take them off to see. And these are prescriptions, y'all. Like this is, it's not like these are readers or anything like that. And it's just driving me nuts. So I'm putting that out there. I'm praying for healing, for so I don't have to do that. But there was a question about picking up mantles.
Yeah,
And
from Paul.
I'm re-looking for it in the chat.
It says, he says, it's from
Does
Paul.
one in the office of the prophet normally pick up someone else's mantle? I think this is huge because I will often get people with well-meaning hearts and intentions say, "Hey, can you impart your mantle to me?" And my answer is no, because I'm still using it. I'm still wearing it. I'm still learning how to wear it, right? I still like my call and assignment isn't up yet, right? It's the reason why the safest person to sit on a long distance airplane ride is me, because I'm not done, right? I flew to Florida last a couple weeks ago. My mom was recovering from surgery, so I went out to take care of her and help out. The lady next to me is bugging on this flight. Like we hit some turbulence, and it was pretty jarring. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, you're so calm." I'm like, "Hey, listen, you don't got to worry about this plane ain't going nowhere." And she's like, "Why not?" I was like, "'Cause I'm on it." And she's like, "What does that mean?" I said, "I know what I'm called to. I know what God's plans for my life are, and I haven't completed them yet, and I'm not going anywhere until they're done." And so you're probably in the safest spot you can be. She looked at me and was like, I don't know if she thought I was nuts or she was just assured, but she calmed down really quickly. But back to the mantle thing, right? You don't always pick up someone else's mantle, especially if they're still wearing it, right? So the thing with Bobby and the thing with Bob Jones, when Bobby says, "Hey, you're called to wear the same mantle that both I carry and Bob Jones carried," it wasn't the one that they were wearing. It's the same as if though, "Hey, I've got that same
Right.
shirt, right?
Gotcha.
Oh,
Oh,
I have
okay.
that same exact jacket, right?" However, it's going to be tailored different
Right.
because it'll be designed to fit me, right? If I took this overshirt off and gave it to one of you to wear, it might look like a boat cover to you because I'm a big guy, right? It's not tailored for you. It's meant for me. But if you went, I guess this is Target, I don't know. If you went and picked up one from Target, it would be for you to wear, but it's the same. Does that make sense? Now, there are times where there are those generals that have passed and they lay down their mantle, right? Or their mantle is laid down. I believe those you can pick up, right? But even then, the Lord does something supernaturally to tailor it to you. Okay, because you're going to wear it differently. You're going to walk in it differently. It's going to rest on you differently. I mean, yes, Elijah goes up in the cloud, in the whirlwind, right? And Elisha sees it and picks up the mantle and puts it on. But I guarantee you, it looked completely different on Elisha than it did on Elijah. Elisha used it and operated in it completely different than Elijah. Elisha does twice as many recorded miracles in the Old Testament than Elijah does with the same mantle. So it looks differently. So, you know, I especially going to all of these conferences and these events, man, I tell you, you got people who are mantle junkies. Oh, I want it. You can't have mine, but I can give you an impartation of the grace that this gives me,
Come
right?
on,
And
so
that's
good.
what Bobby was doing with me is, hey, it might be the same mantle. This is for you, but I'm going to release an impartation of the grace that I carry from my mantle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a great answer. I love that so much. Wow. There's just wisdom. I really feel the presence of the Lord as you're speaking. There's just really wisdom being imparted into people as they're figuring this whole mantle thing out. And I feel like that is such a practical answer. Well, of course you can't have my jacket or my mantle. No, it's mine. But here's where you can get one,
Exactly.
I think that another question would be is like some people in here are so new to the prophetic and just, trying to figure out whether or not they're called to be a prophet. Obviously, they're resonating with something because, Chris is in here, I'm in here, Peter's in here, we've got a bunch of prophets in here. What would you say to them in just pursuing their knowledge of am I called to be a prophet?
I would first begin to look at, well, what is a prophet? Right? Here, let's make this official, like Bible time. I'm gonna scroll, you know, for years as a pastor, I'll turn in your Bibles too. I got that language out. If you have your Bible app, scroll to Ephesians chapter 4. Right?
Okay,
Let,
yep.
let's 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 scroll to Ephesians chapter 4 for a second, right?
Okay.
Verse 11, and he himself, who's this? It's Christ Jesus, right? And he himself gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. And we love that verse, especially as people who are hungry for a prophetic move and for I'll use the language of office, even though I personally no longer use the language of office. I use the language of office simply because that's what most people recognize.
Right.
But nowhere here in scripture do we see that it's an office, right?
Right.
It is a grace, it is an ascension gift. And he himself gave gifts. What are the gifts? The gifts are actually the people, right? So apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So we look at this and we're like, yes, I want that. I want that gift. I want to be that. Well, listen, first off, it is not a position you fill. It is who you are. It is
So
an
good.
identity you carry. If you want to be a prophet because it's a position you fill, you can drop the class right now. I hope you stay through, right? I don't want to get in trouble for having people drop out. But if you are only about, oh, that's a respected position, I would begin to question your internal call. I would begin to really have some serious dialogue with the Lord, because it's not easy, right? It's not a journey that is to be taken lightly. There is a pressing, there is a crushing, there is, listen, you know, we can glam this up all we want. Oh, it looks great. Look, man, you get to talk to so many people. You stand on this platform and, you know, you're doing stuff with Dano Alex. You're doing stuff with Georgian. And, you know, it has never been about a platform or a microphone for me. Right? Never.
Yeah.
I got words for days. I can talk to people. I can talk to my kids. I can talk to the lady down the street. If it's about talking and being heard, trust me, I can do that. It's not about that for me. Right? Because there is a price to be paid.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Marguerite, I don't know that we often talk about the price that is paid and that we have to pay. There, and I'm not trying to downplay, or I'm not trying to be dramatic.
Right.
Okay. But realistically, seriously, there is a price to pay. There's rejection that happens.
Yeah.
There's betrayal that happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There are hard seasons that you walk through that God, I don't believe God is sending it your way and causing it, but it's part of the process of your formation. Because when you find yourself in the cave like Elijah, and trust me, every prophet I know has had a moment in the cave.
Yeah.
I came out of a cave a year and a half ago. And there are days where I'm like, God, am I back in this cave? Did I put myself back in this cave? And I'm just trying to be very transparent with the process. So the first thing is realize that this is, that you are the gift.
Yeah.
If you are called, you are the gift. And so I would begin to say, okay, what's my motivation? Why am I looking to be a prophet? Or is this something that the Lord is actually calling me to? The second part, right? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for work of service, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That is your job description as a prophet, okay? To equip the saints for works of service. I believe every prophet should be equipping the saints in some way, shape, or form. And not, this is my personal opinion, this may not reflect the values in the teachings of Emerging Prophets, Bethel Church, but, right, so that's my disclaimer. But I believe it's more than just preaching equipping and modeling equipping. It's stuff like what we're doing here. The fact that y'all are sitting here, we've got 106 people on this call. The fact that you're here, this is how we equip. This is how we equip people. And so it doesn't mean that every person called to the office of a prophet needs to have a training school or a training program, but there are people that you are pouring into to equip, right? To the building up of the body of Christ. That's the preaching aspect.
Come on.
That's the preaching aspect. That's when you stand on the platform. But the first thing is to be equipping. Until what? We all attain to the unity of faith. If your prophetic ministry is not unifying the body, listen, my biggest, and I know my prophet hat is on it, because my biggest problem, do I want to say it that way? Oh, I'm already there. We'll clean this up afterward. My biggest pet peeve, right, with the corporate big C church at times, it's its lack of unity. We talk about being the bride of Christ, but we come off looking like the bride of Frankenstein and behaving like the bride of Chucky. But it takes a prophetic voice to call the dry bones to come together and come back to life. I know that sounded harsh, so hear my heart. Like, I am full of joy. I am happy. I am
Yes,
walking in
you are.
grace, and
You
there
are.
is grace. But listen,
Absolutely.
church, we need to do better. The church down the street is not my competition. They're my brother and sister. Right? The ministry down the way that has 15,000 followers and I've got 300, I've got 20, I got five. They're not my competition. That's not what I'm striving to be. I'm striving to unite the body.
Come on.
Philippians
Come on.
2, Paul says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness or compassion, verse 3, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, being in one accord, being one in spirit and in purpose. That's the call. That's
Yeah.
what Paul is saying here, right?
Yeah.
So prophets, you unify. So the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. I tell you, man, there's a generation coming that's hungry for God, but they don't know the word. They
Yeah.
don't have a knowledge of the Son of God. Are
Yeah.
we prophets? Are we training, equipping in a knowledge? This is why I love the encounter that I had. Alex, you know my word, but you don't know my power. I'm going to teach you what it means to operate in both. So,
Yeah.
prophet,
Wow.
you have to have a foundation in the word. Okay, because that is how we get to the knowledge of the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word, John 1:1, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. How do you get to know the Son of God? Not just through divine revelation, but it's right there in the pages of Scripture
Yeah.
or in the scroll of the app, right? Until not to a mature man. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Listen, we haven't gotten there. We're helping people in their journey to maturity until they have reached to the full measure of the stature of the fullness of God. And we know Colossians says that in Christ, he has placed the fullness of the Godhead. And in you, and in Christ, you have been given fullness. So we know it's there. Now it's bringing it out. So as you look at, and this is a way long answer, sorry, Marguerite, but if you look at that as the job description of a prophet, is that what I'm called to do? Is that what I'm feeling led to do? If any of those is no, then relook at what you're called to do.
Right. So good.
Okay? Relook at that, and it's not bad. It's okay. Why? Because Paul says that we are many members of one body, and each member has its purpose. Listen, the head has its purpose, but the appendix has a purpose too. And the reason why I bring that one up is because this, I once had a person say, Alex, you know, we're all part of the body, and you said we all have our own purpose. I feel like the appendix. No one knows what the appendix does. I said, okay, I can tell you one thing. Don't go bad, because if you go bad, you're going to poison the whole body, and then you need to be removed.
Come on. Wow.
Okay, but I guarantee you've got a purpose. And so if your purpose, if your call is not to the office or to be that ascension gift and walk in the ascension grace of that, it's okay. You still have usefulness, purpose in the body. Okay. But that's where I would start to look at it and go, okay,
Come
is
on.
this, does this then resonate with me? Is this what I'm actually called to?
Yeah, I think it. I love your answer. It was long, but
I went into teacher there. I'm sorry.
It's all good. No, you got your preach on. You got your preach on.
Yeah.
I love it. And it was so good. It was so full of wisdom and just practicality of what we actually need to hear, because you're right. It is not glamorous. The prophet life isn't sexy. It's none of that. It's none of the above. Like there seriously is a price to pay. And we don't want to downplay the goodness of God, but at the same time, we don't want to downplay the cost that it actually takes to get to the place of the office. And so you're called doesn't necessarily mean that you're in what you don't like to call the office of prophet. Like, have you emerged as a mature prophet, that is in that place of stepping into your assignment. And so I love that, because I look back at my life and I think, yeah, if I had to do that all over again, would I do it? Yes, because it's worth the cost, but there was a cost. I know some of your journey, some of mine. It's not pretty, because you do begin to deal with, the self-doubt, the intimidation, the, like you said, the betrayal, the accusation. There's all of
Rejection.
that,
Yeah,
all
all
the
of that. And
rejection.
somebody asked in the chat, which is a great question, what is the cost? I can't tell you what the cost is for you.
Right.
I know what
So
it
good.
cost me.
Right.
I know what it cost me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. This is,
There were relationships that I had
yeah.
to walk away from.
Yeah.
And not that they were bad, and not that
Yeah.
we cut off, but you know what? It was going to hold me back from running into everything that I know God had for me.
Right.
Okay? There are those types of things. And so it could look differently for each person in their
Absolutely.
journey.
Absolutely. And I think this is where that mantle piece comes in as well. Like,
Right.
you don't want to wear Alex's mantle, not only because he doesn't want to give it up, but because the cost that comes along with that mantle is not designed for you, is designed for Alex and his life. And so you don't look for someone else's mantle. Like, if someone wants to give you a similar mantle, then sure, but know that the cost is going to be
Yeah.
similar in certain ways as well. And are you ready to pay the price for that?
If you want what I have, are you willing to pay the cost that I paid? And that's a question we have to like really ask ourselves sometimes, right? Again, let's take this out of the vein of profit for a second. Ministry, position, notoriety. That's glamorous. That is you use the word sexy. Novel is one of the words I use, right? That there's a novelty to it. It's like,
Sure.
ooh,
Yeah.
right? But the cost associated with it, Paul, he as an apostle, he paid some heavy duty costs, right? You look at all the prophets in the Old Testament, man, they paid some prices for being in walking in that office. We can look throughout church history and evangelists and pastors that have paid a price for the call in the office in which they carry.
Yeah,
That's
so good.
why Jesus he said, each one is to weigh the cost of
Yeah.
following him.
Yeah.
Listen, there's a cost to being a follower of Jesus. Okay? There's a cost. And here in the West, and I'm not sure where everybody's watching us from, but at least in the West and in the United States, we think we're paying a price. Hey, let's talk to the church in North Korea and Korea. Let's talk to the church in China. Let's talk to the ones in the Middle East and in Jordan, in Syria, right? In Iraq, in Iran.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk to those
Right.
and see what cost for just being a follower of Jesus is. And so again, it's not a doom and gloom thing. It is a very true thing. There is a cost, but the benefit, ooh,
Yes.
Listen, I would pay 10 times over the things that I've had to pay just to be with him, just for the benefit. And I'm not talking the benefit of a platform, the benefit of an audience, the benefit of a following, just for the benefit of serving. Just for the benefit of being close. Now, we have union with God. He's in us and we are in him, the scripture says. But the benefit of knowing, the benefit of I served well. I pay it 10 times over every single day and twice on Sunday.
Same
The
friend.
reward is so much greater than the cost.
Agreed. Agreed. And I feel the same way. Same way. It's more than well worth it. Any day, all day, any day. I don't know who it was, but someone said that sometimes that you don't know the cost until you're in it. I would have to say that sometimes you actually get a choice.
Yeah, I agree with
Because
that.
there were definitely, I definitely remember choices being
Yeah.
presented to me and like, will you do this?
And listen, here's the thing. I don't believe that the Lord is going to make you pay a price that you're unwilling to pay. Like you said, he gives you the choice. Hey, here's the cost. Because I tell you, through the hard things that we have walked through, even as a family, my wife and I, some of the stuff that we're navigating even now in the season that we're in, and within ministry in general, there is a choice, right? It's that might be too steep. I'm not going to pay that. And listen, God's going to honor your free will. He's going to honor your will, and he's not going to violate that. Now, you can delay things because of that, right? It's one of the things I learned from Dano. You move at the speed of your own obedience, And so I'm constantly checking in with the Lord, going, okay, am I moving at the speed of obedience? Like, what is it you're saying, and what is it that I need to do next? But it's worth it. I wouldn't change the last 20 years for anything. For anything.
Agreed. Agreed, agreed, agreed. Now, for those of you that are like, holy smokes, do I really want to do this? Again, think about Jesus and who he is and what he's invited you into. Because it's so beautiful. Like, it's like your journey is tailor-made for you, and the outcome is going to be incredible. So there's that part to consider as well. And are there, okay, I know we're getting close to being done. So I know there's a lot of questions here that are just going to have to go unanswered for right now because we're not going to sit here for the next 2 hours. We could sit, do Q&A for the next 2 hours
I
for
could
real.
totally, yeah.
Yeah, but I want to honor your time and Sarah's time and
Yeah, no,
everybody
you're good.
else's
You're
time.
good.
Are there any words of wisdom that you actually want to leave with this group of emerging prophets and
Yeah.
prophetic people?
Hey, listen, I think this is a perfect setup for what I wanted to share just to close too. There's a cost. The reward is great. The journey is different for everybody. The mantle is going to be different for everybody. But I want to say this, you're not meant to do it alone.
Boom.
The wisdom is, don't do this by yourself. And this is what I love about things like Emerging Prophets. This is what I love about being a part of Prophetic Company, is you're not meant to do this alone, right? You're meant to do this in community. You're meant to do this in family. You're meant to be part of the body, right? I've heard it often said, the Lone Ranger becomes the Lone Stranger. You're not meant to do this alone. So the wisdom is wherever you are at in your journey, get with somebody,
Yeah.
right? Get with somebody. And I like to be around two types of people. People who are further along in my journey, right? In their journey, and people who are further behind in theirs, right? So that way, as I'm grabbing over here, I can reach back and grab somebody else. Okay. And find that community. You know, again, I love Emerging Prophets because of that. It creates a place where, hey, we can encourage each other, as the scripture says, as long as it's called today. We can spur each other on to love and good works, as the scripture says. We can do that together. And I love the fact that I don't have to do this by myself,
Come on.
right? I love the fact that I get to operate with friends like Marguerite, with friends like Dano and Bethany and Michelle, and with Ryan Pena, and I can go on and on. I love why? Because when I'm weak, they got my back. When they're weak, I got theirs. I don't have to be the one with the word of the Lord all the time. I've got a community of people around me that are there for me, that care for me, that love me, not because of what I do, not because of how prophetic I am, but because of who I am. Right? Some of these people have seen me at my highs, they see me at my lows. And they're in my life and they love me. My best friend in the whole wide world is Jake Bullard. You know, prophet. He's now in what, Charleston, South Carolina. And you know what? He's seen me at my highs. He's seen me at my lows. And we're still in each other's life 7 years later, you know? And to have community and family around, that's the wisdom. The wisdom is don't do this by yourself.
Come on. So good. Well, thank you, Alex,
Yeah,
for giving
it's
up
my
your
pleasure.
time.
Yeah,
Yeah,
totally.
especially so last minute, guys. If you my brain has not been where it needs to be. So I texted him yesterday. Alex, could you possibly I was in panic mode. And he
And
so graciously said yes.
oh, but this is what friends are for, man.
Yeah,
And
it's true.
hey, I'm gonna throw a link in the chat. This is I'm still building my website, but this will bring up some Linktree stuff, and you can find out a little bit more about what my wife and I do, what we do,
Yeah.
what I do. And so it's thrownatthome.com, and you'll find all our links to all the stuff there. And love to connect with you on social media. Hit me up on Instagram, hit me up on Facebook, and let's be part of the journey together, you know?
All right, perfect, perfect. All right. Macy is going to give everybody unmuting powers and everybody unmute and say goodbye, but
Bye.
goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Blessings.
It's been
Bye.
great.